grown, and I got to retire about 3 months ago, so I know. It's been fun, but I'm busy, just as even as a retired person. But tonight our topic is stewardship. It's a little hard to start it after Karen's fun announcement, but this is a great topic. And I've been so blessed as I prepared this topic and just been reminded of all that it means. And I hope that you will be blessed too. So I want to kind of give you an idea of where I'm going tonight. There's four things I want to look at regarding stewardship. The first one is I want to define what stewardship is. The second thing is I want to look at what makes a good steward. Thirdly, I want to discuss some areas the Lord has made us stewards over. And fourth and last, look at the blessings and rewards that go along with good stewardship. It's important to know what stewardship is because God has said we are stewards over everything that we have. So what is a steward? A steward is someone who manages another person's household, property, or finances. So he's a manager. A steward is someone who manages another person's household, property, and finances. And although the steward's given some freedom in how they manage these things, they're still responsible to the owner for how they manage, and also they're still under the owner's authority. Now, a biblical example of this is found in Genesis. Remember when Joseph was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, and Potiphar bought Joseph, and he saw how the Lord blessed Joseph in everything that he did. So he made him in charge of all of his property and his household. So Joseph was a slave. He was still a slave, but he became a steward because he became a manager over all of Potiphar's things. Now, in our culture, it's kind of hard to understand what a steward is, but I thought maybe something similar would be a store manager. If you were a store manager, you're not the owner. You're in charge of making sure everything runs smoothly and making a profit for the owner, but you're still responsible to the owner. Now, the Bible talks about two different types of stewards, the good and faithful steward, and the evil and lazy steward. So we don't want to be an evil and lazy steward, do we? So let's look at what makes a good steward. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to start at verse 11. But before we start, I just want to kind of put this scripture in context. It's a prayer of David. And King David, it's near the end of his life, and he had wanted to build a temple for the Lord. But the Lord had told him, no, you can't build that temple because you've been a man of war and you've shed blood. But your son Solomon can build it. So David assembled all the leaders in Jerusalem to give Solomon all the things that they had wanted to give him. And David, even though he couldn't build the temple, he gave a huge amount to the building of the temple, a huge amount of his gold, all of his riches and treasures he wanted to give towards the temple. So it's at this assembly that King David prays this beautiful prayer that reveals the heart of a good steward. Let's start in verse 11. It says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." So let's stop at this verse, and I want us to notice that phrase, "For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours." And the first thing I want to point out from this prayer regarding stewardship is a good steward recognizes God owns everything. A good steward recognizes that God owns everything. Let's go to verse 12. It says, "Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." And from that phrase, "both riches and honor come from you," we see a second characteristic of a good steward, and that is a good steward understands that everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we have is a gift from God. And not just our material possessions. From that verse, it also says our position, the influence we have, and even our strength is from the Lord. And then let's skip down to verse 15. It says, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." And that phrase, without hope, refers to earthly things as not having hope. They are temporary. It doesn't refer to us as Christians not having hope. But look at the phrase, "We are aliens and pilgrims before you." It illustrates a third truth about a good steward. A good steward has an eternal perspective. A good steward has an eternal perspective. They understand that life here on earth is short and temporary, and they are looking forward to eternity. The final thing I want to look at regarding a good steward is found in 1 Corinthians 4:2, and I'll just read that to you. "It is required in stewards that one be found faithful." And this verse states a fourth characteristic of a good steward, which is a good steward must be faithful. It's pretty straightforward. But it means that God can trust us with what he's given us. In fact, our faithfulness will also determine if we are given more. Jesus said, "If we are faithful in little, we will be faithful in much, and we will be given true riches." So let's now look at the areas of stewardship that God has made us stewards over. And I want to look at five of them tonight. There's more, but I'm just going to bring out five. The first thing that God has made us a steward over, and we're accountable to him in this, so we need to know about these, is our bodies. Maybe you never thought of it that way, but he says that we're stewards over our bodies. And this scripture is familiar to a lot of us. It's 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our body is not our own. It is the Lord's, and we are to glorify him with it. Now, what does it mean to glorify our body, glorify God with our body? And how would that look like in our lives? If you're like me, sometimes you like to have examples of what that would look like. Well, it means that we use our eyes to look at things that please God in the books that we read and the TV we watch. With our mouths, we speak words of kindness. And we use our ears to listen to the hurting. Our heart is used to love God above all, and our arms to comfort those we love. And with our feet, we are to follow Christ as he leads us to serve others and seek the lost. We can glorify God with our body from our head to toe. Did you notice the transition? We also need to take care of the body the Lord has given us. And I think we all know the things that we need to do that. It's just a matter of doing it, isn't it? The older I get, the more I realize the more I need to take care of my body. I can't stay up all night anymore without sleep. I can't go without food. I just don't have that reserve that I used to have. What an honor it is to use our bodies to serve Jesus, whose own body was broken for us. We are stewards of our body. The owner is God, who is holy and has made us his home. Isn't that amazing? He has made us his home. The second thing I want to look at is our time. The Lord has made us stewards over our time. Colossians 4:5 talks about that. "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time." Well, what does it mean to redeem the time? Literally, it means buying up the opportunity. We are to be looking for the opportunities the Lord gives us to serve him with our time. To redeem our time may mean we replace something that we are currently doing with something that the Lord wants us to do. Or he might just tell us to limit something in our lives, not completely stop doing it. For example, occasionally I like to go to stores and just to look. I'm not going to buy anything. I might go into Keller's. I don't know if you guys ever do this, but I get the little free cup of coffee. That's the first thing I do. Then I walk around. I just like to look at beautiful things. I can't afford it to buy anything from there, but I just like to walk around and dream, you know, if you had unlimited money, what would you buy for your home? Well, the Lord hasn't told me to completely stop doing that, but he has told me, I don't know, a year or two ago, to limit it. So what can take you sometimes hour or two, the time just flies if you like to do that sort of thing. Now I kind of take a look at my watch and, okay, in half hour or whatever time, I'm going to leave and go home and I'm going to quit this browsing. So he's helping me to use my time for more eternal purposes. He might ask us to cut back on TV or maybe playing computer games or have us limit the time we spend looking at magazines or catalogs. It's going to be different for each one of us. But he may ask us to do that, to cut back, to change, to stop doing something in order to redeem our time. Also, to redeem our time may mean that we start to look for opportunities to serve him or fellowship with him as we go about our everyday activities. For example, a lot of things that we do are pretty mundane, may not take a lot of thinking. You know, we fix our hair every day, we get dressed, we put on our makeup, maybe cook dinner, different things that you don't really have to think while you're doing them. But a way to redeem the time when you're doing that might be to put up a scripture verse and try to memorize scripture as you're doing some of those things. And not only are you memorizing scripture, but as you read those scriptures, the Lord is speaking to you, he's ministering to you, he's changing your heart, he's helping you turn your eyes towards him. It's a great way to redeem the time. Also, we spend a lot of time in our cars, don't we? Running errands, running children back and forth. And a way to redeem our time when we're in our cars might be to ask our children, is there something I can pray for you about? Or ask them how their day was and listen to all the details as they give them to you. Or we can encourage our husbands as we're driving around the car. Now, that might be hard depending on how your husband drives. Mine drives okay, but you can try to think of something encouraging. Get in the car. Okay, Lord, give me something encouraging to say to my husband while we're in here. There may be some of you that are so busy, you don't have time to stop and think, let alone try to redeem your time. You run from work to activities to chores, etc., and then you fall into bed exhausted. I've been that busy, but I heard something that changed my life, and it's this. There is always time to do God's will. And I love that phrase, there is always time to do God's will. The first time I heard that, it was, I'm pretty sure, I can't remember exactly, but it was an extremely busy time in my life. And I thought, okay, Lord, I need to know what I have in my life that is not your will, because I'm not keeping up with things. Well, he was faithful and began to show me many things, but some of them were, one of them was I had a problem saying no to people. So I've learned to just say, I need to think about that, or if it's another Christian, I need to pray about that before I just say yes and commit to things right away. Another thing he showed me is I was too busy pleasing other people and not worried enough about pleasing him. So he's helping me to think about, okay, Lord, how can I please you with my life, with what I'm doing in it and what I'm saying yes to, instead of being so worried about what other people think. The other thing he showed me is the unrealistic expectations I had for myself, especially around the holidays. I just thought I had to do so many different things, and he's showing me you don't. I don't expect that of you. Why do you expect it of yourself? And the fourth thing he showed me during this time, and this wasn't all in one day, thank goodness, he showed me over time, but this probably was the hardest, and he began to show me my pride in this, that I wanted to be seen as someone who could do it all. And women would say, I just don't know how you do everything you do. So he's helping me to be a little bit more humble and just say I can't do it all and just accept that about myself. Well, there are seasons in our lives when we get extra busy. But if your extra busy season never ends, and if you're so busy you don't even know whether you're doing God's will or not, maybe it's time just to sit with him and say, Lord, help me to see what I'm doing in my life that is not something you want me to do, but it's for whatever reason I'm doing it. And he will be faithful to help you see those things. We are to redeem our time and look for opportunities to use it for eternal purposes. The third thing that the Lord has made us stewards of is the spiritual gift that he's given us. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." This gift that verse is talking about is our spiritual gifts, and we are to use them to minister to one another, not keep them to ourselves. Karen gave a wonderful teaching on that subject, so I won't go over it again. But if you weren't there or need to listen to it again and still are wondering what your spiritual gift is, I would encourage you to listen to that teaching again. And also continue to pray that God will open your heart and help you to see what the gift is that he has supernaturally gifted you to minister to other people and his believers. We are a steward of our spiritual gift. It has been given by us, by God, to bless others. It has been given to us by God to bless others. The fourth thing that the Lord has made us stewards of is his gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so we speak, not pleasing men, but God who tests our heart." God has entrusted us with his message of salvation in order that we not keep it just for ourselves, but that we share it with the lost. Jesus came that he might seek and save the lost. His life was spent sharing the message of salvation with everybody he met. Do we have that same passion for the lost? He will give it to us if we ask. Remember, he promised that if we follow him, he's the one that's going to make us fishers of men. So he will help us every step of the way, no matter how afraid we are. We are not responsible for how people respond to the gospel. God the Father draws the lost to himself. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts that lost person that they need to repent. We simply give out the gospel message. We are stewards of the gospel message given to us by our Savior, who still seeks the lost and longs for people to know him. The fifth and last thing that I want to talk about as far as what the Lord has made us stewards over is material possessions. And that's usually probably the first thing we think of when we think of stewardship. Remember King David's prayer that we looked at earlier, "Everything we have is from the Lord, and we are merely to manage it for him." So what does God want us to do with our material possessions? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to read 17 through 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll start with 17. "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." And the phrase "lay hold on eternal life" literally means that they take hold of that which is really life. So it's not saying that through their good works they obtain eternal life. It's just that they lay hold of that which is really life. The passage, if you notice, starts out by saying, "Command those who are rich." Well, whether we feel rich or not, we are. Compared to the rest of the world who often don't even have the basic necessities of life, you and I are rich people. From this passage, we see that with our material possessions, we are to be rich in good works, ready to give, and willing to share. We are not meant to keep all that we have been given. And for Americans, that's a hard concept to understand, isn't it? It's hard for me to understand sometimes. Paul told the Corinthians that their abundance was meant to be shared with the Judean Christians who were poor and suffering. Well, how do you know what is given to to you for your needs and for your family, and what is given for you to share. Only the Lord can tell you that. For those of you who are married, this is a decision that must be made with your husband also. And if he doesn't want to give to the Lord and the Lord's work or share with other people, you have to abide by his decision and his desires. But you can always pray for him. I hear of many wives that pray for their husbands and their hearts are changed. And if your heart is wanting to give more than you're able to, the Lord sees that, and that blesses him and pleases him. Notice in these verses that it says God gives us richly all things to enjoy. We will be blessed as a result of what God gives us. But if we take more than what is intended for us, our material possessions will soon become a burden. They will fill our time, they'll leave us empty, and they'll choke out the life that God wants to give us. The Lord will let us know what he wants us to keep as a provision for our family and what he wants us to give away. He'll also help us to know the difference between the things that he wants to give us and the things that we want to give ourselves. He knows just the right amount to give us so that our possessions remain a blessing and not a burden or something that can even take us away from him. Material possessions can do that, can't they? Well, I recently got it in my head that I needed a new kitchen table and chairs. And it was before I worked on this lesson. But I talked my husband into going out shopping. And we did need chairs, but we really didn't need a table. But I got him to go with me because I said, we really need some chairs. So he was willing to go to look for chairs. So we found a table and chairs, and I loved them. And they were a good deal. They were so cheap. And I told my husband, I said, these are such a good deal that we are getting the table for free. Because if we had to buy these chairs individually, and I had done the math, and we had been looking at chairs, so he knew that was true. So we might as well just throw in the kitchen table. Well, he was not convinced, and he reminded me that, Cindy, you have a perfectly good kitchen table at home. So we didn't go home with this new kitchen table and chairs, and I was a little sad. And you know what? I was surprised at how I acted because it got stuck in my head, and I couldn't stop thinking about this stupid table and chairs. So I thought, okay, he's not going along with it. So, Lord, can you give me some money from heaven? Just like we're going to know that it's just for this table and chairs. And so I told my husband, when you check the mail, if you find an extra check or if there's any extra money, it's for me and my table and chairs. So for the next couple of days, every time he went out to get the mail, I said, is there anything for me in there? And no, there wasn't. So I was under a time constraint because the salesman told me there was only two left. Now, I don't know if he was telling the truth or not, but I knew I only had a certain amount of time to get this job done. So then I began to work on my husband because he'd forgotten all about it. I couldn't believe that he forgot it, but he did. So I began to remind him. So I went up to him and I just gave him a big smile as sweetly as I could. I'm not going to be able to do it now, but I just looked at him and I just said, I really love those table and chairs. And I walked away because I didn't want to nag. I thought, you know, if you're sweet about it, you're not really nagging. So I just let him think about that for a little while. And then I don't think I did it more than once a day. So the next day, same thing. I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 days just went by. So finally he just looks at me, and he wasn't mad or anything, but he just said, Cindy, if you want those table and chairs that bad, then go get them. Well, you think that my heart would have been happy and I would have rushed out the door and went to buy them. But you know what? My heart sank. As soon as he said, go get them, it sank. And I thought, that's weird because I still want them in my head. But I really think that it was the Holy Spirit who was grieved that I was demanding that I get these new table and chairs. So after that happened, I was able to, okay, Lord, I get the picture. You don't want me to have them. And I let them go, and I haven't been thinking about them until I started preparing this teaching. But no, really, I'm not thinking about them anymore. And actually, I'm so glad I didn't get them. Because, you know, if they wouldn't have been from the Lord, and I would have started to study this stuff, and then every time I looked at it, I would have felt guilty. I am so glad that I didn't get them. And also, you know, earlier I said that when the Lord gives us things, it's not a burden. Looking back, I think it would have been a burden because I won't go on and on about this, but it's a different shape than what I have. And it would have taken up too much space because we live in a smaller house, so a small condo, so it wouldn't have worked out. Okay, we are stewards of our material possessions. God is the owner. How would a compassionate and loving God want you to use what he has given you? The final thing I want to look at is our blessings and rewards of good stewardship. In the Timothy passage we just read, it said that we store up a good foundation for ourselves for the time to come when we do good, are rich in good works, ready to give, and willing to share. What does it mean to store up a good foundation for ourselves for the time to come? It's talking about rewards we receive in heaven as a result of what we did on earth. Material possessions have no eternal value of their own. We're going to leave them all behind when we go, either when we die or when we're raptured, it's all staying behind. But when we give them to the Lord and his work, when we share with those he tells us to, they are transformed into eternal rewards that the Lord will someday give us. That is so amazing to me. But our material things that we have now, as we obey the Lord and give them to his work, give them to other people, they transform into something that we're going to enjoy for all eternity. And the Lord has given us all everything that we have. It's not like we're giving him anything that he didn't give us first, and yet he still rewards us. It's amazing that we have such a giving God. And it doesn't just pertain to our material possessions. We will be rewarded for how we've used our body to honor the Lord, how we've used our time for eternal purposes, how we've blessed others with our spiritual gift, and how we've shared the gospel, and so much more. Jesus also tells the good steward in Matthew 25 that because he was faithful over a few things, he will make him ruler over many things. Our stewardship on earth also affects how we serve God in heaven. So what we do on earth will affect what we do in heaven. And I don't understand all that, but we're going to be doing things for God in heaven. We're going to be serving him in some way. And so what we do on earth and the rewards that we get for what we've done on earth, we will be able to enjoy them forever in heaven. The blessings and the rewards are not just for heaven. To know you are pleasing the Lord by your stewardship and enjoying his fellowship as you serve him will fill your life with joy and peace. And yes, it'll be hard at times and difficult and trials and different things, but if you know that you're doing what God wants you to do with your time, that you're honoring him with your body, that you're using your spiritual gift, that you're sharing the gospel, you will have joy and peace. One day we will all stand before God and give an account for how we have managed what he entrusted to us. What do you think he will say to you? May we all live in such a way that when we stand before God, we will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Don't you want to hear that? I do. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this topic of stewardship. And I just thank you that you have given us so many things and entrusted them with us. And Lord, just help us to be the good stewards that you have called us to be. Help us to honor you with what you've given us. Help us to know what we are to keep for ourselves as provision for our family. And help us to know what you want us to give away. And God, we thank you so much that you are a giving God. We thank you for all that you've given us. And just bless the rest of the time tonight as we share and pray with our sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Cindy.